At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Fear not, little flock, for it hath pleased your Father to give you a kingdom. Sell what you possess and give alms. Make yourselves bags which grow not old, a treasure in heaven which faileth not, where no thief approacheth, nor moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart also be." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our story now takes us to the aftermath of Francis Drexel's death in February 1885, when the three Drexel daughters in their 20s now, Elizabeth, Catherine, and Louise, tried to put their lives back together again. Close to each other, they were of the same mind that they should continue to use their wealth to support the many charitable works of their parents and to build upon them. Catherine's special charity at first was her support for the Catholic Indian Bureau, a contact which began when two American Indian missionaries showed up at the family home in Philadelphia asking to see the Mrs. Drexel. And Catherine was the one who went down to receive them. The fathers were seeking help for the building of Catholic schools at their missions. By saying yes to their initial request for funds, a whole world of the Catholic missions to the native tribes of the American Western frontier was opened up to her. In 1886, Catherine, Lizzie, and Louise took an extended travel together to Europe. And in January of 1887, they were in Rome. And they had two private audiences with Pope Leo XIII. Those of you who know the life story of St. Thérèse of Lisieux recall how she used the occasion of her audience with Pope Leo XIII to beg for his permission that she might enter Carmel even though she was underage. That audience, St. Thérèse's audience with Pope Leo, occurred on November the 20th, 1887. Earlier that same year, the Pope had heard a special request from Catherine Drexel, January the 27th, 1887. And here are Mother Catherine's own words recalling that event when she knelt before the papal throne. "Then we went to Rome and had a private audience with Pope Leo XIII. Kneeling at his feet, my girlish fancy thought that surely God's vicar would not refuse me, so I pleaded missionary priest for Bishop O'Connor of Omaha's Indians. To my astonishment, His Holiness responded, 'Why not, my child, yourself become a missionary?' In reply, I said, 'Because, Holy Father, sisters could be had for the missions, but not priests.'" This interview triggered a great emotional upset in Catherine Drexel's heart. And once outside, she broke down sobbing. Her two sisters were in dismay. They did not know how much churning had been going on in Catherine's soul about a possible vocation to be a nun. Did Pope Leo have some inspiration to intuit that? We do not know. But since the time of her mother's last illness, that churning, that interior struggle have been going on a great deal. But after their return from Europe, the three sisters accepted what had been repeated invitations to come and see for themselves the Indian missions which the Drexel Charitable Help had been supporting. And so they made another trip together. This was September 1887. When the railroad travel ended, they set out to cross the trackless and remote Indian reservations by horse and wagon. Elizabeth and Louise had brought their saddles. They loved horseback riding, and so they raced their horses, galloped along the prairie, while Catherine, who did not care for horseback riding, she rode in the wagon with Bishop O'Connor and Father Stephen. At Holy Rosary Mission in the Pine Bluff Agency, they met an Indian chief by the name of Red Cloud, and they presented him with gifts. Father Stephen explained that these young women were their friends, They would help to build schools for the education of the children of the tribe. A year later, in the fall of 1888, three sisters made another rough riding expedition to another part of the Indian Northwest. Catherine was more invested than ever in the support of the Catholic Indian missions. But the question of her own personal religious vocation was burgeoning. She felt a great desire to become a contemplative nun, and so she was thinking how to find a way to divert her inheritance to an ongoing support of the Catholic Indian Bureau. Money would go somewhere, and she would go to be a contemplative nun. Her spiritual director, by correspondence, many years, who knew the secrets of her conscience, Bishop James O'Connor of Omaha, for a long time he counseled her that she could do more good by being in the world, remaining in the world, and if she wanted, she could fulfill the longing for a religious vocation by perhaps making a private vow of virginity. In February of 1889, however, Bishop O'Connor dropped his opposition to Catherine's desire to become a nun. And not only did he agree to withdrawing his objection to her religious vocation, but he also encouraged her. He felt that he had had this inspiration while offering Mass and praying about this. He encouraged her that she should found herself a new religious order which was specifically directed to the service of the American Indians and the black poor. And so it was that on May the 7th, in the year 1889, Miss Catherine Drexel entered the Sisters of Mercy in Pittsburgh as a postulant, with the clear understanding, the backing of bishops, that she was being trained to begin this new religious order, dedicated to the service of the American Indian and the colored people, the black poor. Catherine took very well to the training in religious life. On November the 7th, 1889, she was received as a bride of Christ in solemn ceremony. She wore a wedding gown trimmed with orange blossoms. There were diamond rings in her fingers and diamonds in her necklace. Eight little girls in white satin dresses and wearing white silk veils followed her. After this ceremony of reception, she left the chapel in her bridal array and returned shortly after in the habit and white veil of a sister. Hers was now the promise of the antiphon, Veni Sponsa Christi. Veni Sponsa Christi, come thou bride of Christ, and receive the crown which the Lord hath prepared thee forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.